Hi, everybody. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here today, thinking so much, as always, about each of you. And today we've got our business Q&A call, so feel free to bring forward any questions or issues for exploration that you have when it comes to your business, to your marketing, to your messaging, to your systems, to your offerings, to inner pieces related to all of that, to your prospect processes and sales calls, and of course anything that's going on with clients and client work. But before we open up the floor for your questions and for all that you want to bring forward, let's take a few moments and get really centered and connected in. I'm finding these days more than ever it's so important. There's something about, for me at least, but I think it's in the collective, the energy about what's happening with this pandemic is that it's so easy to get disconnected and disengaged. I feel, in some ways, I feel more connected to things when I make the space and more engaged, but in other ways, I have to work for it or else it's so easy to disengage. And I think it's because whether we realize it or not, even if we're having, some people are having an amazing experience of the pandemic and this moment for pause, if you're getting a moment for pause, even if that's the case, we're still collectively holding so much, and there's so much change happening in the world right now. And so I find it even more important than ever to just take a little time to get grounded and to get connected. And so wherever you are, I invite you to close your eyes. If you're somewhere where you can't literally close your eyes, then metaphorically close your eyes, energetically turn inwards. Feel the ground beneath you and notice your body. Notice the space that you take up with your body. Notice the space around your body. And notice the space inside your body. And bring focus to your breath as you continue to be aware of your body. Inhaling and exhaling. Inhaling and exhaling. With each breath, taking up more space inside of yourself. With each breath, taking up more space inside of yourself. With each breath, taking up more space in the world, there is more than enough space for you. Take up the space that you need. Take up the space that you need. And with each breath now, connecting into your business, into your sacred work, into your path. Asking your business or your sacred work, what is it that it wants you to know right now? What does it want you to know right now? Continuing to connect in with your business, with your sacred work, with your path, and asking, what is a goal that is aligned for the month of May? What is an aligned goal for the month of May? Continuing to connect in, be really present, and ask, what is something that you have not been honoring about yourself? What is something about yourself that you haven't been honoring? Whatever it is, take a moment to honor it right now, right here, right now. And then finally, as you connect in, ask your business, your sacred work, your path, whichever makes sense for you, what is it specifically that you would like to receive from our time together today? What is it specifically that you'd like to receive from our time together today? And then allowing your eyes to flutter open, bringing yourself fully present. And it's star two to raise your hand. What questions do you have? What can I help you with today? Tara.
Hey, Joanna. My first question is, I have a client who just finished a summit. She's been doing enrollment conversations. She had someone who is a yes for her package in September. September being because she's getting married and focusing on building a house and all that is happening in the next few months. She
Your
asked,
client is or her prospect is?
Her prospect is. Her okay. prospect is. Yeah. So she had asked, she told me about it and said, is there anything that I would do differently? And I said, well, one thing I've done that has worked is just ask people to pay a deposit. And she didn't do that. And she said, well, do you think I should go back and maybe ask that woman? Because she did tell her, too, that her rates may go up by September. Do you think it would be worthwhile to ask her if she wanted to hold her place in that program and pay, you know, perhaps a modest deposit? Because she also had cash flow concerns just around the house and all of that, but she said she was pretty lit up about doing the program too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, but I think how she approaches it is going to be really important.
Yeah.
So if it were me, what I would do is I would be really transparent about it,
mm-hmm.
you know, because if she mm-hmm. approaches this woman and says, you know, if you want to hold your space, it's going to be
mm-hmm.
this.
Yeah, it could feel really weird.
A little
yeah.
knit. So
yeah.
I would go the route of, you know, I'm so excited that we're going to be working together September. You know, I wish we could start working together now, but I get mm-hmm. that you have these other things going on. September is both far away and not far away, and I know that it's going to be amazing when we start. What I also know is that sometimes we say yes to things, and if they don't start right away, our ego in the time between when we say yes and when we're meant to start, our ego starts to play tricks with us and tell us that we don't really need to, that it's not the right time, that it's not as urgent anymore, you know, all the things. And, you know, it's just what our ego minds do and what our fear does to keep us from getting what we want. And because of that, what I've always found helpful, whether it's myself investing or with clients, is you know, if you're saying yes, but we're not starting for a couple of months, it really helps to put down a deposit. What that deposit really is an energetic investment in the work that we're going to start together in the autumn, and a sacred mm-hmm. promise that your heart is going to win over your ego when it starts to give
mm-hmm.
you all of the excuses not. I know
mm-hmm.
that there's some, you know, because you're about to invest in your home, you know, there's some investment concerns, but what do you feel would be an appropriate deposit to put down
mm-hmm.
so that
mm-hmm.
you don't step out of this thing that's so important to you?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how
mm-hmm.
I would just straight, because that is the truth and that's the reason to get
yeah.
the deposit. And so I would just
yeah.
be transparent about it.
Yeah, so just put it on her. Is email okay for that, do you think?
Your client would know best, just kind of based
okay.
on the prospect
Provide.
And how it
yeah.
went and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think for a lot of cases, email would be just fine, but it depends on the person. So ask your
mm-hmm.
client.
Okay, awesome. The other question, you may have responded, and just stop me if you have. It's about the one person on the summit who had the 8 people step in. That seems odd given the list of 10,000. And I'm not I thought she did a solo email. So I'm just, it always is a little awkward handling that, you know, in a non, you know, like you said, a non-shaming way that.
Yeah.
Is just kind
of
asking the question.
Did you find out if it was a newsletter or a solo that she sent?
You know, I'm remembering my conversation, and I was pretty sure she was asking for the solo email copy before. So I will double-check that first, but
yeah.
it's a good thing for me to just think through, because it'll happen, like it always happens, that there's one or two of these people, and I want to come up with a way to handle it if,
yeah, so
you know.
I think I sent you copy. I would.
I got the ones for the clear, yeah, people who didn't mail, people who did. That was awesome.
Oh, I sent you
but copy there's like this gray
her.
Area.
Oh,
oh good.
No.
Okay.
I sent you copy
okay.
for
I'll
her.
I'll just look for that.
So look at, yeah,
okay.
look at that. If you don't find it,
okay.
let me know, and I'll resend it. And you can add in there a question. You'll see how I put it. Well, I'll just share for everybody
okay.
else because it's helpful. So Tara's mm-hmm. question is, Tara's putting together a summit right now, and she has partners who are part of this, you know, the speakers of the summit, and you know, for the summit, all of the partners send out emails about the summit to their community. That's how you get more people in. And inevitably, this is happening with Tara right now, and inevitably, it will happen no matter what JV project you do. There's always going to be one or two people who it's like they sent something out, but almost nobody comes in and something doesn't seem quite kosher about it. And so you want to reach out and find out about it, but you want to do it in a way that doesn't shame the person in case they just, you know, their community really is just not engaged. And so generally the way to do it is to, you know, first just say, I'm so glad that, you know, you're part of the project and thank you so much for sending something out. You know, the day that you send it out, the energy, the summit must not have, you know, been putting out a good energy because it looks like very few people responded. I know that that can happen sometimes, you know, and especially these days, things are weird. Would you be willing to send an email out again, either to your entire community or to just the people who didn't open up the original email? So Tara, what I sent to you was along those lines. How does something like that feel for you?
That feels good. And I want to say too, I am on her list and I didn't see the email come through. So,
oh, well,
yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. I mean, I could have missed it, but I've been kind of looking for these. Yeah. So, okay. That sounds really good. And then just the final thing, if you have any tips on women, like I have a woman who I'm working with and it seems clear that one of her biggest blocks is like, it's around mirroring. Like she doesn't, like everybody sees her as being super powerful and in her leadership and she's grown this amazing Facebook group and she gets high engagement and she has some issues around converting those leads into clients. And it also has become clear in recent coaching that there's like almost a mismatch with how people perceive her and how she perceives herself. And I'm just wondering if you have any tips for really, I don't know, helping women with, yeah, like with that confidence and really internalizing things. Cause I feel like sometimes when people give her compliments, like they don't fully land. There's like something she's realizing around receiving that is hard for her.
Yes, I think I'm getting a little distracted because there are other people with their hands raised. And I want to
make sure
I answer there. Can you hang on for a little bit? I think there's going to be time.
Yeah.
There aren't that many people on the call today. So
yeah, we can do
it. I'll send it back to you.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm coming back. Dana, hold on a second here. My computer is, here we go. Dana. Oh, nope. You're still on mute. Hold on a second, Dana. Sorry. I don't know if this is happening with you guys, but since everybody's been sheltering at home, my internet is much slower than it used to be. All right, there we go, Dana.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Hello.
Hi.
Okay, so I am, I want to say too, I already came with the question I had in mind, but it was helpful to just go through the process that you did in the beginning of the call. So thank you for that. So I am a little bit more in a pause, or I guess more of like a wintry season
mm-hmm.
in my business where I'm just kind of in maintenance mode, I guess, right now. And I feel okay with that. But I do know that my biggest goal now, in the past I set goals about like bringing in a certain amount of money, but for me I'm realizing now it really is about the consistency, like easeful, consistent months of, you know, 2 to 5K is really ultimate goal. And so I've had this membership community for a couple years now, and I've been wanting to kind of like I started with just like friends and peers, and it's been fun. So it's been fun to create through there and figure out what that looked like. And I'm ready to up that and make it like a real thing and bring new people on, because I've never really promoted it. It's just clients get it for free and then the people that were in it. So I'm excited about that. So I just wanted to speak into that a little bit. So right now I'm charging, it's a monthly offer. And I was doing one moon ritual a month. So it's essentially just helping members align with the energetic rhythms that are going on. So I do I Ching readings and a moon ritual. So I was doing it once a month with the full moon. And over the last few months, I started incorporating a new moon ritual as well. So two times a month now. It's listed at $27 a month. I'm sort of feeling like I want to raise that price, but in the past I was always a little inconsistent with how I showed up. So I didn't want to like raise the price and start bringing new people until I felt ready to fully commit and really hold space in a more powerful way. So it's a 90-minute twice a month moon rituals. I started the Facebook group early on, but now we don't even use it. It's, you know, it's got like 8 people in it. So I'm thinking of reawakening the Facebook group because just through your work, I see how powerful it can be in the container if you're actually like holding that space for it to be powerful. And then they get discounted sessions with me. So it's $27 a month for like just the that. And then I had an upgrade option that like one woman bought when it was $75 a month. Now I'm thinking of making it $97 a month and they get an I Ching sort of energetic reading a month. Along with the moon ritual. So that's where it's at now. I don't know. I'm like thinking about, should I raise the price or, part of me feels like, I'm wanting to add like a library component. So when they step into the container, there are some core, guides and core meditations that, you know, they're getting as well when I raise the price. So, I guess I'm just trying to make sure I'm clear.
Is it one new moon circle a month and one I Ching, or it's a new moon and a full moon? I got lost with the components. How many calls are there a month?
Yeah, I guess that's because I'm just going about how I like articulated it on the sales page in my head, and I guess it could be confusing. So it's two calls. It's two rituals. So it was one. I just, through COVID, I've added another.
And one of them has the I Ching element to it.
Both of them are readings and rituals. So I just come in with, this is the energetic forecast, as if it's an astrologer would do. I just do it through the I Ching. I was doing once a month, but now I'm feeling like twice a month is better to move forward from that place. Because
one call a month is hard to keep people engaged. Let's even take this a step back for a moment. This will be helpful for you and for everybody, whether you're doing a membership program or anything. But, you know, for membership programs, especially, you know, people buy membership programs for topics or issues or needs that are like, I have this interest in something. I don't want to invest a lot of my time and energy into it, but I want to go deeper with the practice of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is it, like, why are people buying this membership program, or why should they buy this membership program? What is the thing that they want in their lives, that they need some support on, a container on, an experience on, but it's not something that they're going to, like a business, they're going to be thinking about every day?
Yeah, so I think what people show up because they are lacking consistency in their spiritual practices, you know, meditation/spiritual, more the spiritual side, though, because that's more what I bring in with that offering. So I do the energetic forecast is what we lean on. So a lot of people like just coming. Again, it's like an astrology sort of thing. So they're like, oh, what's going on in the energetically?
So I think it's almost like this is what's happening energetically. And here is a circle or a ritual or a ceremony to kind of harness what's happening.
Exactly. And then I think it's, too, it helps them hold space in their life because they're not, like, if they weren't in this container, they probably wouldn't be doing like rituals on their own. So they're like, oh yeah, it's a ritual this week. So it kind of reminds them too. It's like accountability.
Okay. So just in general, Dana, like whatever the membership program is called and how you're pitching it and marketing it, you really want to think about that person, right? That person who already has some kind of spiritual, probably some kind of spiritual background or practice, if not at the very least spiritual interest, where they want, they want to a place to be able to actually get their practice done, because they're not doing the practices, and they want this container to be able to connect in, to connect to spirit, to feel like they're, you know, connecting into the energies of each new and full moon, and doing some work around it, right?
And community has been important for this too, but it's funny because it's a small, right now we have like maybe 10 people that come to call, so there's group shares and we're on video, but as it grows, that'll be harder to maintain. But right now, people like that aspect too, that there's like the intimate community sharing, connecting.
So you can, right, I mean, really up until 40, 50, you can still speak to intimate community. And if you have shares and all of that, you're making it intimate. So I would speak to that. And then obviously the benefits of all of this, you know, more, having more peace, you know, like all the things, right? So you just want to make sure it's focused and it's not kind of this open loosey-goosey. Does that make sense? Like you really want it to have a focus.
Yeah, so it feels like it has a strong focus as I'm showing up, as I'm delivering it. I think where I get stuck is, right now, within the context of like my business model, like I'm dumping a ton of time and energy and like checking in with the women. So at $27 a month, that feels low.
Yeah.
But so then part of me is like, do I raise the rate and make it a tighter container, or do I keep it and make it a less tight? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So here's what I would recommend. Have it be the 2 calls a month. That's already going to tighten the container from the one. Don't add a ton of recordings, but because you mentioned meditation and because this is for people who want to connect more with their spiritual practice, I would have 1, 2, 3 recordings that are really just recordings that they can listen to over and over again, that are meditations or visualizations that like is just like in any time in between the new and the full moon, if they want to connect in. And it doesn't have to be 3 recordings. It can be 1, right? Whatever you have. And then I would let them know that you really want to be connected with them in between calls. And you want them to connect with each other in between calls. And so because of that, you're going to reboot the Facebook group. And what you can do is, instead of spending all of that time and energy reaching out individually and seeing how people are, once a week or twice a week, you can post in the Facebook group and just, for now, tag everybody in the group, in the post.
Okay. And then with the upgrade option, do you think that's even, like, should be a thing? Because I kind of was like, oh, I'll do an upgrade where they get 1 personal reading a month.
You can, but 97 seems really low.
I know. I mean, right now I'm charging $147 for like a single reading, and I don't advertise it, but if people come to me for it, I do that.
So they're,
like,
they're,
I advertise
getting $97 for the month and the reading.
Yeah, so the one client I have doesn't even come to the group ritual. She just does the one-on-one thing.
Yeah. What's your energetic sense? Because I know that you're in transition with your rates.
Yeah, I guess my energetic sense at first was do it at that for now, because really no one's been buying that, and that would feel good to have like a little bit of excess, but then cap it at like the first 5 and then raise it or something, like grandfather them in. So I don't know if that's even a good strategy, but that was my thought to...
How about the,
that, but.
How about between now and August 31st, keep it at that or raise it a little, you know, and really work between now. I know you're in a winter phase, but I feel like you're wanting to put some more focus to bring some more people in to this. So between now and August, work to bring more people in. And then September 1st, maybe the rates go up a little bit.
Okay. And then do you think, I mean, 27 or 37 for the basic, it doesn't really matter, right? I did 27 when it was one call a month. Now I'm sort of feeling like 37 or 47 is better, but I still want to make it affordable for people to,
I think do 37 for now.
Okay.
Bring people in, get them engaged, and then you can always raise the rates in September. I think right now, I have a feeling, Dana, that there's at least 10 more people you can bring in with very little effort.
Get
people in, have them feel the container, have them feel you get so much from it, and then, you know, reassess and raise in the autumn, I would say. I think right now is just about, you're already putting so much effort into it, get more people in.
Yeah, I just stepped into the space where I'm like, oh, I'm going to show up fully for this. I know it sounds kind of bad, but people were paying like $13 a month, and I was like, oh, I'm kind of like half in. So now, I guess I'm ready to show up more powerfully, and this feels like a good plan for it. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I want to hear how you're going to outreach and get people in, because I really feel, Dana, like you could get a whole bunch of people in right away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Who is this? I feel like it's either Nicole or Vivian, but I don't know who. Oh, or maybe it's someone else. 0604 are your last numbers.
Oh, hi, Joanna. Sorry. Suzanne. I was really miles
away.
Suzanne. So my question is also about a membership, so it's good timing. I have a membership program that I've been running for just over a year now, and when COVID has happened, I was away overseas, and I came back, and I had like over half my members wanting to drop out, which I can understand. People are cutting corners and wanting to save money. And at first I responded, probably not in the best way, but when we know better, we do better. I felt bad for them, so I kind of gave them all the scholarships. So I got back in March and I gave them a scholarship, but where I was proud of my boundary, it was till the end of March. It wasn't open-ended, so I had people there forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I reassessed in early April and extended it to the end of April. But now I've, like, put the line in the sand because I've realised that I'm not actually helping people by giving it to them for free, because if what they're saying in time of stress, they're wanting to drop their health and their habits, and I'm like, hey, just stay for free, I'm actually putting pressure on them to act on something that they don't want to. So I was really excited to have that realisation, you know, that I wasn't actually helping and that it does need to be that energy exchange. So I have a lot of people leaving like tomorrow because it's the 30th of April now. And in a way, I'm disappointed and I feel like, oh, like, you know, I'm crap. There goes so much of my business. But in another way, I'm like, well, it's probably good because the people who are left in the container are excited and happy and motivated and engaged, and like the energy of the group, you can feel it shifting as these people are leaving. But now I'm kind of like, I need more people in it, but I don't feel like promoting it, so I'm kind of stuck.
How come you don't feel like promoting it?
Well, I've had a few, like, discovery calls, enrollment calls with people recently, and it's been interesting. Like, I know my own money mindset's not the best, and I've been working on that, and my go-to is usually to discount stuff or give stuff away for free, which instead I realize is not helping. But it's just like having that, if I have to be really, it's not pushy, but if I have to like convince them to come in, do you know what I mean, like it's the beginning, it's really hard work, and they're people I don't want to work with. So I find I don't know how to reach, like, the people who are in there, I really like, and I love working with them, And it's just kind of like, oh, how am I going to find more of them? And I find, like, a lot of people I've been talking with, because I work with weight loss, like mindset, though, not diet and exercise, have had, like, a sleeve or a lap band or one of those type procedures. And it's got to a point where it hasn't worked, which I'm used to. You know, and there's a lot of people I work with that. But they're telling me they've spent, like, $20,000 on this lap band surgery, but the membership at $120 a month, oh, I can't possibly afford that. And it's like, with love pointing out that for some people, like, we're not a fit, which is okay, but what that's telling me is they don't want to do the work. But if I'm like, we spent this money here, like, you know, I don't want to be telling them how to spend their money. Or people who haven't had the surgery who are saying, I'm eating a block of chocolate a day or McDonald's twice a week or whatever, but I can't afford $120 a month. I don't want to be guaranteeing that they're never going to eat Macca's or eat blocks of chocolate a day, but it's like, putting that thing that, you know, yes, it's going to be work and mindset and stuff, but, you know, you do have it, you're just not seeing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what I'm hearing, Suzanne, is like kind of this fear or limiting belief inside of you that's saying if they're not already in the mindset of they need to do some work to support their health, then it's not worth it to reach out to them and it's not worth it to educate them on why the surgery isn't enough and their habits are so important.
I guess, yeah, I can see that reflection. It's interesting having this conversation. I was going to ask last month, but everything happened. And then we've just done in Sacred Depths the negative thought patterns and the perfection thing. And I was like, I can see my pain body feeds off their pain body. And, like, so people will come in, not everybody, but some people, and be like, I don't even know if the issue is this or if it's I don't want to work with that. I'm so confused at the moment. Because, like, I have a couple of clients, like, who have just left who have been like, you know, I'm doing everything and nothing's working and whatever. And when I gently push with love and say, okay, so, you know, which module have you worked on or what are you tracking or whatever, oh, like, I'm doing everything. And they get really defensive. And then I get triggered and we just feed off each other's defensiveness. And I think that's kind of put a block in place for being open to bringing new people in.
Okay, so this is a really such an important awareness. Can you feel it? I mean, this is...
Yes.
So... Let's go back to with the clients for a moment. Where are you not showing up with an equal playing field?
It's almost like, it's funny, when my pain body's not triggered, I'm like, it's a bargain, I can totally talk about it, I don't feel pushy, I don't feel icky, I don't feel like I'm convincing, I'm just like, this is the information, you're free to make a choice, you know? But when my pain body's triggered, I feel like I feed off those who I can't really help. Do you know what I mean? And then their resistance fuels my resistance, and the equal playing field is that neither of us are really listening to each other at all.
Mhm. Yeah. So what's the belief when your pain body is being triggered? What's the belief about yourself?
That I'm not good enough.
Yeah. That one again,
good enough,
right?
Like, if I could explain it enough, I could help them.
Yeah. So that I'm not good enough is coming up in those sessions when clients get defensive, and then you're kind of losing your ability to hold the space for them to be in their process and see what they need to see next. And I'm not, then you're projecting that into the marketing or lack of marketing. I'm not good enough, so I'm not even going to bother. And it's only the people that are already quote unquote perfect. If they want to come in, then I can help them.
Yes.
So with that awareness, what's a better belief to be approaching the marketing with?
I would say it is what it is, but not in a, it doesn't feel negative when I say it like that. Like, to be really clear about the container and what's offered within that container, and then what's like out of scope or what's beyond it. So I suppose at the moment when I am feeling that triggered, I feel kind of, I can't coach clearly anyway, but I feel kind of like, hey, you're having a hard time, now pay me more money. Do you know what I mean? And that feels really gross. But if I am, and I am clear when I say it, and it's clear in all my writing, but energetically not clear at the beginning that this is what's included and this is what's involved. And then when people have issues or things that come up or ask for things that are beyond the scope of it, saying cleanly, that's something that I can offer, but it's a bigger thing, or that's something that's not included in this. And because, like, I don't have to be able to offer everything that people ask for.
That's right. So being really clear on the scope. But then also as part of that, Suzanne, and tell me if this resonates for you, what I think is really important is for you to be clear first with yourself and then in your marketing that your work is a process. It's not a 1, 2, 3. There are moments where it's easier, and then there are moments where it's harder. There are moments where people are going to move forward more quickly, and then there are moments where people are going to be at a standstill, but that doesn't mean that they're not, things aren't happening or they're not doing it the right way. That is just the process of learning how to take better care of oneself and of health.
Yes.
And to be really clear and upfront about that in the marketing and to say this work is for you if you're not just looking for a quick fix. Because the quick fix can only take you so far. This work is for you if you're open to really showing up, not to be perfect, but to show up and to really be in the process, right? You can say that in your own way. But why I say first and foremost it's important for you is because there are moments where our clients are going to get stuck. Doesn't matter how great of a practitioner you are. It's just because that's part of the growth process. But the moment that we make it about us or we make it about them is the moment that we can stop holding a powerful space for them to continue to show up for themselves and then eventually move through that part of the process.
Yes.
It's like you need to believe that first, and then you need to take a stand for that. You know, this is something, you guys have heard me say this before, like I do this regularly in my marketing, you know, like, I always tell people if you're looking for the person that's going to fly you to the moon and back in a day, I'm not your gal, you know. If you're looking for it to always be easy, I'm not your gal. But if you're looking, you know, to really show up, to learn how to connect with your soul, to move forward in, you know, natural process ways, then this is the work for you.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Right?
So, is that hard for you at the beginning? Like, because I find, I feel that I say, not as clearly as that, but I feel like I say that and then sometimes I can hold it, but sometimes as soon as people get the wobbles and they want to pause or they want to run away, mm-hmm. I find it really hard to hold them in the container without feeling like maybe it's because we're losing the level playing field there, because then often I'm getting triggered too. Maybe that's the thing.
Well, that's,
you know,
that's
what I mean? Like,
exactly.
When is it hard?
No. It's yeah. not hard if you yourself believe it. When
sure.
you really
yeah.
know that it's a process and you believe in the process, then there's a lot of grace for the tough parts of the process, and you don't get triggered when your client is in them.
Okay. Yep.
So that makes sense. I'm so glad you're bringing this
up. It does,
up.
And I believe in the process most of the time, but when I wobble off.
Right, so that's when your practices, your own personal practices, become even more important, right? Like the negative rewiring, the negative thought patterns, befriending the fear, the even though nevertheless, that's why you want to have those practices for yourself too.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. I want to let all of this
you.
Sink in, and then just a couple of kind of strategic things for when you're ready. Just ideas for you to think about. Number one, for all the people that are leaving the member program right now, I want you to just kind of go through the roster of the people that are stepping out. And if there are any people that are stepping out that you feel like intuitively, you know what, I actually feel like she is meant to do the work. I feel like she wants to do the work. I would just reach out personally and say, you know, I, of course, honor your decision to leave. I trust that you know what's right for you. But I just want you to know, here's what I see for you, and say what you think is possible for them. I know that this is a tough moment, and I know that, you know, there's so much chaos going on in the world. But because of the chaos, I feel like it's even more important to invest in your health. I'm here, and the program is here, you know, if you want this support. So I would just go through, because I feel like the people that are leaving, like, yes, probably a lot of them are meant to be let go, but I do also, based on what we've been looking at today, Suzanne, I feel some of it is your ego being like, okay, fine, leave. You just don't want to do the work. So taking...
You know, there's two people who came to mind as soon as you said that, and I thought, yes. And I was thinking about it, but I wasn't quite sure how to word it. So I like how you've said, you know, I know this is a tough moment. It's totally your decision, but I'm here in the program here. I think, that would be... But there's some of them who it was the right time, and because I'm doing the rhythms with you, it's kind of like they're on the tree and the tree's like falling over, and it's maybe pruning the tree will actually be beneficial for both of us.
Yeah. I'd reach out to those people that it makes sense to. I would reach out to any past clients or people that have been in the membership program before that you sense maybe now is a good moment for them to step in, especially because of the pandemic, and that people need more support and need to focus more on their health. I would, another idea is for the people that are remaining in the member program to let them know that there are some spots open, and do they have any friends or colleagues that would really receive value from it. And then hopefully this conversation is also opening you up to want to do maybe some more, you know, public marketing. And I would send out a couple emails about it. It's such a, you know, as entrepreneurs, many of us are going into like, it's the pandemic. It's not, people don't want to buy right now, this and that. But both are true. There are some people that don't want to spend money right now, and then there are other people that really recognize the need for support and do want to spend money right now.
True. Yep. Perfect.
Okay.
Lovely. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. All right. Pinball.
Hey, Joanna. I have a couple of questions. So let's see. The first one is, there's a client who, like, I want to help her, and we've agreed that, you know, that this would be helpful to create, like, closure on a relationship. Mm-hmm. But it's more about, like, creating closure about certain aspects or patterns in the relationship and how, like, she showed up, because she's engaging with this ex. And so to kind of, like, really, like, discern, like, what she wants to keep and what she wants to let go of.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's really about, like, her own growth and patterns that we're also working on in other relationships that she has.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, like, you know, I was thinking, you know, so we can devote a session to it, but I was interested in kind of like any pre-work or anything kind of like major that you think could be helpful.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking is you can actually do the ritual together in the session.
Yeah.
Which would mean that if she could do some pre-work, that would be great. So some pre-work would be for her to have you guys looked together so far at some of that patterning that you were talking about, beliefs and all of that? Have you had any experience around it? Okay, great. So I would have her make a list of all of the beliefs and patterns and habits that she's ready to let go of when it comes to relationships. I'd have her do some journaling and make a list on all of the habits and patterns and beliefs that that actually are really aligned for her. Right, because she's also probably brought great things into the relationship too. So
yeah.
To name those and honor those. And then I'd have her do some work around what her vision for an ideal relationship is and how she shows up in it and what she brings to it.
Yeah.
And then you can do a three-part ritual based on each of those things. So you can do, I'd actually start with the second one first, like honoring of what is really aligned and working well and, you know, like do something ritually around that. She can anoint herself and honor different, you know, with oils, different parts of herself or, you know, something like that. I would do a releasing around the releasing. And if the relationship itself with the ex needs to be part of that, I would have that kind of separate at the end of that. And then the third piece would be, you know, ceremony or ritual action around what she's really calling in. And it can be the full vision, and then maybe you can also, like, boil it down to a word or, you know, something like that as well, and she can make something to symbolize that. There may be also some grieving that needs to happen somewhere in the middle there.
Yeah.
And or anger / setting boundaries. How does all of that feel?
Yeah, that sounds great. And in a way, like letting go of the end of the relationship is, you know, could also be like the last iteration of the relationship.
Yeah.
You know, for them to really create a new one, if that's aligned.
Yeah.
Awesome. Great. So you know, my other question, which I think will also be quick, is that I'm really frustrated that my consulting is, like, happening instead of my business again. And so when we were doing, and there was a lot of drama with it last week, and, yeah, just in terms of, like, the emotional and mental energy, and then also just, like, literal time that it takes up. So, but, you know, with another deadline at the end of May and, you know, and moving, like, I can barely do what I'll be able to do, what I need to do,
mm-hmm.
let alone, like, you know, market or whatever. So I think that, so it's frustrating, and it's also, you know, like, it is what it is, but I'm just, like, yeah, I'm frustrated. So when we were doing the grounding today, it was kind of like, okay, trust. Like, it's a delay of, like, 6 weeks. But I don't know if there's, yeah, if you have any suggestions or thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have whatever commitments you've made to the consulting. When you first said trust, you know, what came to mind for me is, like, how can you trust in your business more so that you don't say yes to so many consulting gigs?
Yeah, and I mean, this is one thing that I agreed to and actually, like, pared down.
Mm-hmm.
And it just has, like, it has four parts. So it was, like, great. Like, this will be straightforward. It's one thing. And it's split up into four parts. But at least it's, like, I don't have to, like, apply. I don't have to reach out to folks. Like, it's kind of like it's known.
Mm-hmm.
And I really tried to pare it down to make it more simple. There was a lot of drama and delays because of other people involved and responding to COVID.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
So one thing is, after this, can you tolerate not saying yes to anything else for a while so that you can really focus on your business? I feel like you keep on denying yourself that. Number two, are there ways to hold a tighter container with your schedule right now to find, we're not going for perfection, but just to find some more pockets where you can work on your business and at least do a little bit, you know, more than you are now? Those are kind of the two biggest things I'm thinking.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
the only,
I think
to elongate the consulting gig so that you have more time to work on your business, but in some ways I think it'd be better to get it over with.
Right. Okay, that's awesome.
Okay, but the first piece there, Inbal, is the most important, like, really trust your business so that you give yourself a nice, solid number of months to really do the work on your business that you want, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, Leah, and then Tara, I'm going to swing back to you. After that, Leah.
Hey there.
Hey.
Small update. I'm feeling entirely better than yesterday, so that's not what this question is about.
Okay, yeah, I just listened to your boxer right before getting on the call, so I'm happy to hear it.
Yeah, definitely feel like a new person. But the question I have is around messaging for these new clients. and more like, what are the questions I should be going through or thinking through, or we could talk through that, whatever makes more sense, around, like, what they need to hear. Because I don't know if you remember this, but I hired a team to do PR for me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so there's certain – so it's going to be that. That's the delivery mode, so it's going to be a bit different, obviously, than ads that comes later. But, you know, then something like that. It's going to be more, you know. Anyway,
yep.
You know where I'm going.
Yep.
So I'm trying to think about, if like, how to structure the messaging. Like, because I think the challenge for me is that the people that I want to reach right now are the people who know, like, it's time to step in, it's time to do the work, it's time for their next level, you know, their most meaningful work of their lives, or to figure that out, or whatever, their next level themselves. And they're the people who know, like, who deeply know and have a sense of that call, that they're the ones meant to, like, part the new world, or they're part of something of what's next, whatever that amorphous idea is for them. And they're the early movers, right? And kind of what I'm saying is like the bridge walkers versus people who are further down the line in their journeys. So I'm trying to think about, one, really just concentrating on my messaging being as potent as possible for them and what they need to hear, versus people who are not as far along.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's so much I could say, and I think the challenge is that I don't need to say everything. I need to say it to the right people.
Yeah, 100%. So what are the problems that those bridge walkers are facing?
Mm-hmm.
Not anyone, but specifically the bridge walkers.
I'm writing another question. They can't see the path, or they don't know what the path looks like because it's uncharted territory.
Mm-hmm.
They often feel alone about their craziest ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Like they can't be truly seen, or they can't share them. And, like, what they think that their life is for, like, the bigness of their lives and what they're called to do. Like, they don't know how many people can really hold or work through that kind of vision with them. Let's see. They sense this has something to do with, like, a spiritual path, I think, but depending on where they're at, and even if they're more advanced, like, that's not clear of how that all comes together, like, how their spirituality and success come together, or how that guides their vision.
Mm-hmm. Get a little more clear on that, more focused on that. What's the problem or the longing there?
They don't know how to integrate the two. They don't know what that, like, pathway of success looks like, because they've done a pathway of success that's been so externally driven that when they they're kind of living separate lives, and that they know that the other things, the spiritual aspect, plays a role, but there's this tug of war that happens when they think about integrating the two, because there's fear about what that looks like, because it's a completely different path. They don't know how to trust. You know, there's just a lot more. There's a skill set to learn that they get.
I'd say that, like, they have a there's a part of them that knows that if they could merge those two paths, things would accelerate incredibly, but they still have a lot of resistance around knowing how and if it's viable.
Yes, and that's part of that's because they haven't seen a lot of people do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no mold. They're creating it.
Yeah. And then there's this piece of, like, they know they're meant to do big things, but they really don't know if it's fucking possible. They really, like, they can see what they want to do, and it kind of scares them. Like, or there's a disconnect there of, like, where they're not giving themselves full permission to step into their vision. And they question if the vision is the vision that they're meant to work on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So my sense.
I think there.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, the only other thing I was going to say is I think that there are, like, more practical problems, like, when you drill down of,
okay,
like they may have experienced burnout in the past and the success path that they're on. They're not interested in doing that again. There feels like there's a disconnect in their life between their spiritual selves and their, like, existing selves. Like, their whole world doesn't match in terms of, like, family, friends, lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might be straddling a few different things. They're in between worlds. And they can recognize that things are changing, but they don't know how to make it all come together.
All
that makes sense.
Things that you're describing, you said these people are further along on the journey than newbies or beginners?
Yep.
There's a part of me, Leah, that feels like you're still half describing the newbies.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. I think that's fair. I think these people, to clarify where I think they're at, I think they have more trust in their system, and they have a greater capacity for risk-taking.
Yep.
But I think that risk-taking doesn't entirely apply to, like, their spirituality. Like, they've done it in terms of success and business and investments, but maybe it hasn't always crossed over or integrated between the two. There's something there that I'm not sure yet, but that's kind of a question.
Yeah.
I think
go ahead.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I think there's also a thing where they're not fully giving themselves permission to go to be as ambitious as they want to be. Like, they're kind of in this linear path of success and in terms of thinking about what's next, but they know it doesn't feel right for some reason. And what they're really craving is to be exponential in what they claim for themselves next.
Okay, so this is what I want you need to speak to more, right? Like, you actually need to speak to their accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And how for this particular kind of a person, those accomplishments are really, like, they're amazing, and also it's just the tip of the iceberg. And for these individuals, there's a part inside of them that knows that there is, like, it's just the tip of the iceberg, that there is exponential opportunity, that their path is supposed to go so much further, but they also have all of these other fears that you listed. See, without that, they sound more like the beginners.
Yeah, there has to be some qualifier.
Exactly. And so I want you to kind of marinate more on this and get really precise on the issue of the more advanced person, that bridge walker. not the people that are contemplating walking the bridge, but the people that are probably already halfway across. So that's number one, take the work that we did and get even more precise with all of that. And all of those precision points you can use throughout all of your messaging, but then the point is after that, I would tie all of those points in to what the definition of what the new world is, as you put it. What is this new world, and how are these people and their, like, where they're at, like, how does that all fit in to the new world? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like personally, like where personal problems, they can see themselves in it, et cetera, speaking to them, as well as like the greater vision.
Exactly. So aspirational, because I think your ideal client is like aspirational and futuristic, and they get excited by this idea of the new world. So you want to make it aspirational while drilling in to what these unique obstacles are for them to get there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Work on that and let me see what comes through.
Cool.
Sound good?
Can I ask a quick question?
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, no, we're okay. I'll put it on Voxer.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Tara.
Thanks, Joanna. Should I recap?
Yeah, tell me again. I got distracted.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, sorry.
No worries. No worries. A client who has been having some big media successes right now, like having newspapers write articles about her and all this, is saying that she's having a hard time seeing herself the way that other people see her. She also has a hard time with converting, you know, people who love her content into engaged. I mean, not engaged because they're engaged. I guess the word would be marketing. Convert.
Yeah.
Into paying clients. Yes, exactly. Yeah, so I feel like there's work to do around her really claiming her brilliance and being able to step into making more offers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's not that she's not visible, because she is very, very visible and has a big Facebook group and engagement and has had thousands of people comment on posts. Like, she's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, there are a couple of ways that you can work with her, or like a couple of steps. And of course, I'm like kind of putting all this out without knowing all of the ins and outs of who she is,
mm-hmm.
but I know you'll pick up, you, since
mm-hmm.
you know her, you'll pick up on what's what. So if you haven't already, first thing would be to look at what the resistance is to really owning her brilliance and owning how amazing mm-hmm. she is. So what's the underlying fear? Not of visibility, because like you said, like she's good at visibility, but of like really sitting on her throne.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
to work to see the fears and the underlying beliefs
mm-hmm.
there. And, you know, you can do a befriend your fear process. You can use some of the rewiring negative thought processes on that. But I really create awareness around what, you know, why is she resisting really seeing herself as amazing as she is, while also pointing out to her that there's a part of her that isn't resisting, because she wouldn't be able to garner the visibility that she's garnering if there wasn't a very active part of her who actually knew that she was the shit, you know? And it's helpful to point that out to clients just so that it doesn't feel like they're so insurmountable, you know, like they know they're already halfway there, right? That would be the first piece that I think is really important. And then once you've created the awareness, once you've befriended some of the fears or started with some of the rewiring, you know, that's a process. It's not like a once and done, but it'll start to like make her more open and willing, you know, soften the edges. Then from there, what I would do next is one or more of the following kind of like, so the first step is almost like becoming aware of and starting to clear out the old. And then the next step is kind of like bringing in the new. And so bringing in the new can look one or more of the following ways. Number one, have her read out loud her press and her testimonials. So really have her take it in. And this is something to do more than once, right? But as a practice. Or another way to do that would be for her to write about her from the point of view of her raving fans. Or a third way to do this would be to connect her to her queen self on her throne and have her channel about herself from her queen and new journal and write that out. But you want to do things that are going to reinforce then the muscle of the owning alongside with outer action, right? Because it's not, it's like the inner is important, but the outer action is important too. So when I say alongside outer action, what I mean by that is helping her strategize baby steps to bring in more clients and really working the inner with the outer together. How does all of that land?
That's really great. Yeah, I totally got what I needed. Thank you so much, Joanna.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And Joanna, I just wanted to publicly thank you too. In the past like 5 days, I've had so many current and past clients step forward and just appreciate the work I've done with them in different ways. And it's been extremely, it's been really beautiful and powerful, and it's helped me to kind of see, you know, that I'm a powerful coach and stepping into that. So thank you for all the work we've done through the years.
You're so welcome. And you are such a powerful and masterful coach. And I'm so glad that you're getting those reflections. Yay.
Thank you.
Well, we have a few minutes left. Anyone else have any other cues? Star 2, I'd love to hear from you. What else can I help you with today? Star 2. Oh, there we go. In the hall, I'll take you again.
Hey, Joanna, thank you. So I posted on the Facebook group about a new prospect and the length of program to offer her. And Leia smartly asked me, like, why I want to do a three-month program. And, you know, it's kind of like, I just, you know, maybe it's me, but I just, I feel like it's really hard to commit to something that's, like, so far out. Especially,
I
like, not having work for me.
Can you just give me a little bit context, because I haven't seen the post yet.
I'm trying to be efficient, but realizing that I left, I'm leaving a lot out, is that there's a prospect who wanted to, who reached out on Messenger and wanted to know if we could do like a 30-minute or 1 hour session because she's at a crossroads. And, you know, I was like, yeah, that won't work. Let's do a complimentary call. I go deep, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, like, I don't want us to be pressured to make a, you know, to find a quick solution. So we had a, she booked right away. We had a call yesterday and, you know, really seeing that there's so much, you know, that it's really about like the inner work and this new phase in her life. So it's not just about work, but also, you know, where they should be living. She just had her second kid. A lot of different, but not lose kind of like the ambition. And so I don't know if it's like I'm affected by the fact that I'm sure I am to some extent that she wanted to do, you know, like a one-off, and that, you know, it's kind of like I feel like there's an energy of like even more of an energy of convincing or proving that it should be a longer program.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but I'm really feeling like that it should be like 3 or 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a start. So do I offer her like 3, 6, and 9? You know, because I also like the three month programs I did for a while and they exhausted me.
Yeah, I remember that.
Because I was like, you know, I was constantly having to like do celebration calls and renew with people and, you know, or do I say like 3 months and then, you know, and kind of like, okay, like I'm making an exception and like, let's be really clear on like what's going to be possible and what isn't.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to say is, you know, if you activated her gap and you activated her vision and you shared with her the bridge, then you can say like, you know, as we looked at the work that we would want to do together would be this, 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 and this, right? Whatever the bridge pieces are, right? And mm-hmm. say like, to do that work fully, I just, you know, in all honesty, I feel like it would take blah, right? Whatever the blah is, 6 months, 9 months, right? And mm-hmm. when I say whatever the blah is, I mean from your expert opinion, right, having spoken to her and knowing. So say, like, if you want the full, like, if for us to get through each of these pieces, this is what it would look like. But say, but I know you also were hoping, you just came to me with one session, and, you know, we can't do it in one session. But what I can say is, I don't know, 3 months somehow, I'm not wanting to say the word 3 months, like 4 months even feels better to me in Paul. Mm-hmm. You know, over 4 months, we can, I think, get through really, you know, dig deep into blah, blah, and blah, you know, and just be honest with her about the scope based on the time.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, because like a 3 month program is only 6 sessions.
Right. Yeah, so you really like, I want you to be honest with her about that.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is that like it's really hard, you know, it's really hard to assess. Because, you know, there's just like so many layers. There's like, you know, the kind of like, where should we live? How do I want to raise my kids? You know, and like, she has a 4-month-old.
Yeah.
You know, like she's very, and that's her second. And also like, I'm working for the Trump administration and like, I like morally, like I can't deal with my life.
Right, right. Yeah, there's a lot of layers. But
and
I wouldn't.
Also, she's really clear. Go ahead.
I think what's going to be helpful, both for the sale, this question that you have, as well as just the work in general, is to not think. I mean, yes, there's a part of you that's going to think of it like, where are we going to live? What about job? You know, this and that. But I actually think it's more helpful to think about it in terms of BBS. I really do. Like, I mean, I forget what your BBS is, but I'm just going to make stuff up. Like, you know, and your BBS for her is going to be different than someone else, right? But, like, step one, which is going to take a session unto itself, is just how to create more time and space for you so that you can even just be honest, you know, have the container to be honest with yourself to look at these things. Step two is to look at all of the fears that have, you know, brought you to the decision that you've made thus far, and to work on loosening those fears. That's an ongoing process, but we really need 2 or 3 sessions for that. Step 3 is to do an assessment of values and blah, blah, you know, I don't know, I'm just making up whatever it would be based on what she said. But do you know what I'm saying? Like, I think of it in those terms.
Okay. That's helpful. And then I can even, like I don't have a BBS, but I can think through based on her vision and the notes I have, like, what the steps could be, and then, you know, kind of, like, get a sense of the sessions, and that will actually help me decide the timing.
Yeah, I would say that.
That's
and even though you don't have a BBS involved, and I say this with love and not no judgment whatsoever, and I know you know this, like, even though you don't have a BBS, you know, on the calls themselves, you should be making up BBS points for each person to get from their gap to their vision. I know you know how to do this because you do sales so incredibly on my team, and you do it so well. I want you to lean in more to do it in your own work, too. The bridge is really important.
Yeah, and I think I can be like, yeah, I kind of have like a generic bridge, and then, you know, I bring in things like, for sure, I mentioned like the values and slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and things like that. But sometimes it comes in the moment, and then I forget to write it down, and then it's like it kind of takes me forever to write the follow up email.
Yeah, I hear you. So,
right on. Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot. I'm glad we could talk this out directly.
Yeah, me too. All right. Sending everybody a lot of love. Thinking about you all. I'm here for whatever you need. And I will talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.